Take out your Bibles, if you would, with me. Turn once again, one more time, to Colossians chapter 1. Considering again the first 14 verses, we're only going to start by reading the first 6, and then we'll proceed through the rest of this passage together. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. What's amazing to me about this passage is that Paul is in prison as he writes these words. He's in prison for his faith, for preaching the gospel, for taking a stand for Christ. It was nothing like a prison is today, as bad as that is. A Roman prison was a terrible place to be. In fact, Paul, the scripture tells us, was imprisoned several times during his ministry. And Acts chapter 16 describes a little bit about one of those imprisonments. Acts 16:22-24, it says, "The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. And after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks." In fact, we recognize that not only the letter of Colossians that we're looking at these last couple of weeks, but also the books of Philippians and Ephesians were also written by Paul from prison. So Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians are often referred to as his prison epistles. But you know, no matter where he was, even confined, even chained in a prison cell, Pastor Paul was always thinking about his people and the churches that he pastored. The people that he loved and cared for, they were always on his mind and in his heart. No matter what was happening to him personally, he was thinking about them and wanting God's very best for them. I think about what he said in Ephesians chapter 1, again written from a Roman prison cell. Ephesians 1:15-16, he says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." And then if you jump over to chapter 6 of that great book, he takes it a little bit further in verses 18-20. He says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." He is not only praying for the people, but he's encouraging them to pray for each other. And then he goes a little bit further in verse 19, and he says, "Pray also for me, whenever I open my mouth, that words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." Paul is praying for His people. He wants them to pray for each other, and He asks them to pray for Him too. Now, meanwhile, back in the first 14 verses of Colossians, Paul addresses his people in the church of Colossae. Pastor Paul is thankful for the people, and he wants them to have more of Jesus in their lives. And I, as your pastor, I want the same for you. And as Paul, the pastor, did, I too pray for you. And I really hope and trust that you regularly pray for each other. Like we just did a few moments ago. Isn't that great to be able to pray for each other? And I sincerely hope that you pray for me too. I need your prayers. I desperately ask for your prayers. And so this morning, we're going to be talking once again about a pastor's prayer. And this is part 3. And I promise there won't be a part 4. We'll end with part 3 of a pastor's prayer. Lord, thank you for this great service. And we can worship you and pray one for another. And we can just love on our kids and just thank you for them and those who minister so faithfully to them. God, now as we look into your word, speak to us, speak to our hearts. You know us. You know where we are, what we're dealing with, what we need, where we need to grow and change, God, where we need to have more of you in our lives. So God, one more time, take this weak vessel, fill me with your Spirit. Give me your strength, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God, to be able to clearly, boldly proclaim your word. Be your messenger to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So these opening verses, again, of Paul's letter to the Colossians, it's a beautiful and powerful prayer of a pastor for his people, expressing just what was in his heart for them. And I want Paul's prayer for his people to be my prayer for you, that it would also express my heart for you here at Gateway, that we together would all be challenged to be all that God wants us to be. So we're looking at exactly what's in this pastor's prayer. The first thing that we talked about that I see is Paul's desire. That he addresses them as brothers, as a family. He calls them holy and faithful. And he desires for them grace and peace. Then last week, we looked secondly at Paul giving thanks. He's thankful, first of all, to God. And then he's thankful for his people in the church and for what God is doing in their lives. He's thankful for their faith. He's thankful for their love. For the hope of God in their hearts. The hope that was stored up in heaven. And he's thankful for the gospel. The message of the good news about Jesus. About new life and salvation. And Paul said, all over the world, this gospel is producing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you. Because it has to start with you and with me. Now this morning, let's go to the third and final part and look at exactly what's in Paul's prayer. Again, it's just a beautiful prayer and it's so powerful. And Paul expresses the heart that he has for his people. And when I read this, I can just feel the hopes, the desires that this pastor has for the people under his direction and under his care. And you notice that it's a continuous prayer. It's not a one-time thing. Okay, I prayed for the church. But he continuously prays for them and intercedes on their behalf. Look at verse 9. Colossians 1. I'm in Philippians somehow. That's not going to cut it. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this reason, he says, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped. I like that. We have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, when you look at the rest of these verses down through verse 14, you notice that Paul's prayer contains four things. And I'd like us to look at these four things in the time that we have left together this morning. The first thing that Paul says in his prayer that he continues to pray, I'm not going to stop. Gateway, I'm not going to stop praying for you. I want you to know that your pastor prays for you. Thank you. But the first thing he prays in his prayer is this: may God fill you. May God fill you. And that's my prayer too. God, fill us. Fill us. Fill us, Lord. Not only to full, but to overflowing. My prayer for me is, fill me, Lord, with your presence and with your power and with your spirit. Fill me, Lord, with everything I need to live for you and to serve you. Fill me with everything that I need to do your will in my life. God, I want to have more of you. I want to know you more. I have dedicated my entire adult life to studying God's Word and to knowing as much about His Word and as much about God as I possibly can. And guess what? I've only barely scratched the surface. There's so much more of God and His Word that I want and need to know. Lord, I don't have enough of You yet. I want more. I want more, God. I've got to have more of you, God. And for you, God's people, I say, fill your church, Lord. Fill your people, Lord. Give them more because they don't have enough yet. They need more of you, God. And Lord, may they want more because you're only going to give them as much as they want. May they want more. May they want more than they ever have before. That's my prayer for you. Paul said, may He fill you with the knowledge of His will. With the knowledge of His... You know, the two greatest things that you can do in life? To know God. To know God. And to do His will. It's not really complicated to know God and to do His will. Let me ask you, how many of you here will raise your hand and say, I want to live for Jesus? Let me see your hand. I want to live for Jesus. It's about unanimous. Well, you know, in order to do that, in order to live your life for Jesus, you got to know who He is. Can't live your life for somebody that you don't know who He is. It starts with knowing who He is, and then you've got to know how He wants you to live. I want to live for Jesus, but I've got to know how He wants me to do that. How do I live for Jesus? How do I know who He is until I learn about Him and I experience Him and I have a living relationship with Him? How do I know how to live for Jesus, how He wants me to live, unless I read the instruction manual and I learn it and I study it and I live it out? In order to follow Him, you've got to know as much as you possibly can about Him. So many of us go through our lives without taking advantage of the opportunities that are afforded to us individually and corporately to learn as much as we can about Jesus and how He wants us to live. Can I ask you another question? With an upraised hand, how many would say, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Well, you know, I remember when I fell in love with a young lady. As they say, head over heels. With a young lady, her name was, what was her name? Oh yeah, I remember. It was Linda. It was Linda Allen at the time. Fortunately, I had the opportunity to change that last name. But I remember when I fell in love with Linda. You know, I wanted to know all I could about her. And I wanted to follow her everywhere. And I remember, like it was yesterday, the first time on a date that I held her hand. I could take you to the spot in Pennsylvania. And okay, I'm going to embarrass myself, but so be it. When we parted from that date that night, I could smell her on my hand. And I don't know how long it was before I washed that hand. I didn't want to wash that smell off. What was that, Linda? What was that perfume? I think, if I remember correctly, wasn't it called Wind Song? Do they still make that stuff? They do? Well, I need to get you some of that. I need to get you some Wind Song. Because I was in love, I wanted to know all I could about her, and I wanted to follow her everywhere. And I'm glad one day she followed me down the aisle. Do you know Jesus? Do you really know Jesus? A lot of people know about Him. I'm not talking about knowing about Him. Do you really know Him? But for most of you, I guess even more importantly, the question is, do you want to know Him more? You say, I know enough of Him. I've experienced enough. I have enough. Some Christians really act like they have enough. Don't you want to know Him? If you love Jesus, don't you want to know Him more? Don't you want to know how you can be more like Jesus? Don't you want to know where you need to grow, where you need to change? Paul says that He might fill you with the knowledge of His will, with all wisdom and understanding. Knowledge. Can't stop with knowledge. Knowledge has to lead to wisdom. It has to change who you are. It has to change how you live. It has to change your life. Or it's just knowledge. The knowledge of His will. Doing His will. With all wisdom and understanding. You've got to know God's Word. You've got to know His will. And then you've got to apply it. You've got to put it into practice. Applying it in your life. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't do anything until you do something with it. Oh, wisdom and understanding. God's word is to be practiced. His will is to be lived out. His life is to be followed. How can you learn? How can you grow? How can you know? How can you understand? How can you gain more wisdom? In Jesus Christ. I sincerely pose to each one of you the question, including myself, do you want to stay where you are? You just want to stay where you are. Or do you want to even be more full of God? More full of God. So Paul, the first part of his prayers, may you be full. The knowledge of God. Second part is, may you live worthy. May you live worthy and please God. Verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. I'm full of questions today. Here's another one. You ready? What's it all about? Help me out here. Turn to the person next to you and say, what's it all about? So I'll tell you what it's all about. The preacher's lost his mind. That's what it's all about. What's it all about? Okay, translation, please. Well, you know, that reminds me of the philosophy college teacher who was giving his class a final exam. The class came in, sat down at their desk. The professor went to the chalkboard, or I guess the dry erase board, and he said, this is an essay test, and here is your question. Just one question. Everybody thought, wow, this is going to be easy, one question. And he wrote the question on the board. Why? That was the question. Why? Well, students sat there scratching their heads, rubbing their chins, looking at each other, snickering. Some of them writing on their papers furiously for an hour. Some of them got up and left. Some of them wrote so much their hands were cramping and they left. The next day they all gathered back and said, I looked at all your essay answers, and only one student got an A. And he says, and here was the student that got an A. Here's the answer to the question, why not? Why not? Friends, Jesus came to earth. Jesus gave His life. Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus loves you. Why not love Him back? Why not give your life to Him? Why not honor God and please Him with your life? Why not live a life worthy of what God has already done for you? Why not? What's the goal of this Christian life? To please God and to bring Him glory. To please God with your life and to bring Him glory. Success in life is not measured by wealth or power or position or possessions or accomplishments. Success in this life is measured by following Jesus, by doing God's will and pleasing Him with your life. We are not worthy. We are not worthy of what Christ has done for us. But we can live worthy of Christ. We're not worthy of what He's done for us, but we can live worthy of Christ. Are you living a life worthy of Jesus? Are you pleasing God with your life? Are you bringing Him glory? How do you please God? Well, Paul said it, by bearing fruit. By bearing fruit in every good work. Are you bearing fruit? By growing. Keep growing. Keep growing. Keep growing. There's only one moment in your life when you can stop growing. The moment you take your last breath on this earth. Then you can stop growing because you've arrived. But until that moment, keep growing. Let your life shine for Jesus. Live your life for Christ in a way that makes a difference. You know, when your kids were little, we talked about the children today. When your kids were little, how many of you did this to mark their growth? You had them stand in the door frame. Any of you do that? They stood up against the door frame and you put a little pencil or pen mark on top of their head on the door frame. Any of you ever do that? You know what I'm talking about? You know, and then on their next birthday, you have them come and stand up against that same door frame and look at how much you've grown in the last year. You can see the progress. You can see the growth. What if God, on His door frame in heaven, marked your spiritual growth? What if He marked where you are, and a year from now He marked where you are to see how much you've grown? You know, we all eventually, we stop growing physically. Well, at least we stop growing in height physically. Some of us continue to grow in other directions. But we won't talk about that. We may stop growing physically, but none of us should ever, somebody say ever, none of us should ever stop growing spiritually in Christ and in the knowledge of God. Far be it from any of us that God checks us next time He says, man, that mark's at the same place it was last year. You haven't grown. In fact, well, I'm looking at this closely. In fact, it's even gone down a little bit. We need to keep growing. So He talks about being full of the knowledge of His will. He talks about living a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing Him in every way. And thirdly, in his prayer, Paul says, may God strengthen you. May He strengthen you. Verse 11, being strengthened with all power. Oh, church, get a hold of this verse. Being strengthened with all power. Woo! According to His glorious might. Well, some of you will jump in when you can and hang on. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Let me tell you, folks, one thing that every caring pastor wants for his people, for them to become strong in the Lord. To become strong, to find strength, supernatural strength in the power of God. To face, to endure, to overcome any and every trial, trouble, and obstacle that comes your way. And those things will come. Did you know that trouble is an equal opportunity abuser? Doesn't matter who you are, it'll come. You know, as a pastor, I see a lot of those things. I see so many of those things that you go through, that you deal with in your life. In fact, so many of them I experience myself in my own life. Weakness, sickness, death, financial problems, family situations, concerns about children and grandchildren, disappointment, discouragement, the list can go on. But the thing that you must remember is that God alone is the source of your strength. When you can't find the strength in yourself, I'm here to tell you, don't despair. When you don't have the strength and you don't know how you're going to carry on, how you're going to make it, don't despair. Because it doesn't come from you. You don't have it, but God does. You find your strength where? In His glorious might. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Psalm 62:1 and 2, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will never be shaken." Remember, He alone is the source of your strength. Without Him, you can do nothing. Oh, but with Him, you can face anything. Everything. Now, as you know, I grew up in eastern Pennsylvania. There's a lot of, a lot of what we call colonial history in that part of the country. And very near where I grew up, where my home is, there is a stone fort that was built in the 1730s. I've been there, visited the site many times. And today it's pretty much in ruins. A couple of the walls still stand. A couple of them have fallen in. It'd be nice if they could restore it to what it used to look like. But a nice sized stone fort, and they had little openings in each of the walls that called gun ports, where the settlers could put their muskets through, defend themselves, because in the 1730s there was an Indian uprising. And in that community where the people had their homes and their farms, that when the attack would come, the people would grab their muskets, grab their kids, their wives, their kids, and a couple belongings, and they would make their way, they would run to that fort, and they would all gather there for defense from the Indian attacks. And there they would be safe. And I wonder, do you need to run to God today? Do you need to run to that place of safety that you can find in Christ? Do you need to stand on the rock of Christ Jesus? Do you need to find your rest in God alone? How much power does God have? What a question. How much power does God have? How much is His glorious might? Does He have what you need? His strength and His power at work in your life will give you, Paul says, great endurance and patience. Oh, you know Isaiah 40:31. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. With God, you can get through whatever comes your way, and you can come out in victory. I hurry to the fourth and last part of Paul's prayer, and it's this: joyfully give thanks. Joyfully give thanks. Verse 12. And joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Did you know that in Christ you can have joy? You can give thanks in every situation and in every circumstance in life? Yes, you really can. Why? Because if you are a Christian, you are born again. You are not in darkness. You walk in the light. Your sins are forgiven. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you are qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints who have gone on before you. You are on your way to a glorious inheritance, a glorious eternity in heaven. Now, if all that doesn't give you joy, I don't know what will. And if all that doesn't make you thankful, I don't know what will. I've got to confess. Is it all right if I confess? A week or so ago, and I think I shared this on Wednesday night. A week or so ago, I was praying for the things that I usually pray for. And all of a sudden, God stopped me. And He said, "You forgot something." Okay, what's that? He said, "You're not being thankful. You pray and you dive into all of these different things. You're praying about yourself. You're praying about your family. You're praying about your church. You're praying about all these different areas. And oh, that's well and good. And you even praise me and you worship me. But you don't thank me anymore like you should." All I can tell you is that stopped me dead in my tracks. And I had to admit that the Holy Spirit was dead on right. The Lord said, before you pray anything else, before you ask for anything, you need to start by thanking me for what you already have, what I've already done, before you ask for another thing. You begin by thanks. Maybe, my friends, maybe if we were more thankful for what God has already done, maybe He'll do even more. Pastor Paul, he prayed and he expressed his heart for his people. I also pray and I express my heart and my desires for you. Oh, that we would all be the people that God wants us to be. Paul prayed, and I pray that God would fill you to full and overflowing. That we would pray, "I don't have enough, Lord. I want more. More than ever before." That God would fill you with the knowledge of His will, with all wisdom and understanding. That you would live a life worthy and please God with your life. That you would bring Him glory and that you would bear fruit for Christ. And that you would keep on growing and growing in Him. That you would let God give you strength by His supernatural power according to His glorious might. To see you, maybe through what you're going through right now or anything that life may bring your way, and to joyfully give thanks for all He has done. And then see what He's going to do next. next. What he's going to do next. That was Paul's heart for his people. It's my heart for you. Can I ask you, as we close this message in service, just to bow your head, just for a minute. Bow your head, close your eyes, just shut yourself in for a minute with the Lord. I want to ask you just a couple of questions for you to consider. Then we're going to go open the altars for you to come and pray and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in your heart and life. My first question is there anybody here that you would just slip up your hand? Nobody's looking around. You'd slip up your hand, say, "Pastor, pray for me. I need to know Jesus. I have not given my heart and life to Jesus Christ, but I want to do so now. I want to turn my life over to Him. I want to put my faith in Him. I want to give my life to Jesus." Is there anybody? Is there anybody? It means we all know Jesus, but with our heads continue to be bowed, how many would lift your hand and say, "I know Him, but I want to know Him even more"? Would you slip up your hand? "I want to know Him even more." How many would say, I want to be full of His knowledge, of His wisdom, of His understanding. I want to do God's will in my life." Is there anybody who would say, "There's areas in my life that are not pleasing to God. There's areas that need to change. And I want to come before the Lord. And I want to give that to God. And I want to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in my life to be more like Jesus." And one more question. Is there anybody who'd slip up your hand and say, "I need the strength of God in my life right now. I'm going through something and I need that supernatural power according to His glorious might, and I need to get a hold of the strength and the power of God"? Praise God. You can all lift up your heads. Many hands all over this sanctuary. Stu's going to put on a song right now. If you raise your hand for any of these things, or even if you didn't, I want to invite you to get up out of where you're sitting and come. I know we all have busy days planned, but there's nothing more important than letting the Holy Spirit cement in our hearts and in our lives what He has been speaking to us through His Word. So would you come for any of those things that you raised your hand for? You want to know Him more. You want to be more full of God. You need things in your life to change, to be pleasing to God. You need the strength and the power of God in your life. Come and spend at least a few moments in prayer before the Lord. Let God touch your heart so you don't leave the same as you were when you came. The altars are open. Will you come to Jesus?
Don't you hear the Spirit call? Come just as you are. Come and see Christ my King. Come and live forever.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. The altars can remain open. If you're up there, you can continue to stay and pray. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. May your prayer throughout this week just be, Lord, I need you more. Give me more. Amen. Praise God. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.